It's Friday, 17th of April, day 27. Yesterday, I was a speaker on a panel convened on Zoom, naturally, to mark the launch of a book by a friend and former academic colleague. It's a fine book on the failure of governance in the emergency which will be our real existential challenge when we eventually get through the present crisis. In other words, climate change. Some of the discussion naturally touched on the pandemic and what it might teach us as we face into that looming crisis. And during the conversation, I was struck by an observation made by one of the other participants, someone who has worked all over the world. "There are people on this planet today," he said, "who are seeing blue skies for the first time in their lives." As he said that, I thought of some of the satellite imagery and photography I've seen in the last 3 weeks. It shows the Earth and its cities as we've never seen them before. No smog in Beijing, or in Los Angeles, or for that matter in Polish industrial towns. It's as if the Earth has suddenly had time to breathe, because we have had to stop choking it. The French president, Emmanuel Macron, said something striking in the course of his interview with the Financial Times, published in today's edition. He likened the fear of suffocating that comes with COVID-19 to the effects of air pollution. "When we get out of this crisis, people will no longer accept breathing dirty air," he said. "People will say, I do not agree with the choices of societies where I'll breathe such air, where my baby will have bronchitis because of it. And remember, you stopped everything for this COVID thing, but now you want to make me breathe bad air." Today, in Britain, you can climb a hill in industrial areas and see clearly for 20 miles. If this is the new normal, then it's suddenly rather hopeful. But of course, actually, it can't be the new normal, because ultimately we all need to get back to work. Actually, that's not quite fair. Many of us are still having to go to work while the rest of us cower in our burrows. And not just healthcare workers either. There's the men who emptied our bins this morning, the courier who delivered that laptop yesterday, the postman who comes every single day, the guy from Amazon who's bringing the spare part for our broken bread maker tomorrow, the neighbourhood store and post office which has never faltered through this whole crisis, the chef who's trying to keep his closed restaurant going by switching to providing takeaway food, some of which we took home yesterday and eagerly consumed. These and hundreds of thousands of others are the people who are actually making our present climate-friendly normal endurable. A friend of mine had to break his house arrest yesterday for the one permitted purpose, a medical appointment not related to coronavirus in Manchester, which is a round trip of 150 miles from where he lives. It was the first time, he said, he had started his car or passed through his front gate for almost a month. "What I found," he writes, "was a change, but less of a transformation than I had expected. The roads were quiet, but not deserted. They felt less like 1 o'clock in the morning as 6 o'clock. There was a good deal of heavy traffic and about as many cars. Despite all the closures in retail and manufacture, there were goods to be transported and a fair few people who apparently had necessary journeys to make. Britain still seemed to be alive and, relatively speaking, busy. The roads felt not so much empty as carrying the traffic they were originally designed for. There were no queues at lights or roundabouts, no bottlenecks as the Manchester conurbation was reached." It reminded him, he said, of the 1950s. So maybe that could be our post-pandemic slogan. Back to the future.